This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A complicated terrorism trial began in federal court in New Bern last week. Three men face conspiracy charges. They're suspected of belonging to a homegrown terrorist network, allegedly a web that stretches from rural Wake County to the Middle East. Prosecutors say a man named Daniel Boyd is at the center of this web. Boyd pleaded guilty earlier this year to conspiring to provide material support to terrorists and conspiring to murder, kidnap, injure, or maim people overseas. The charges carry a possible life sentence. Boyd is expected to testify against the three men currently on trial in New Bern. They are facing similar charges. The court proceedings may offer a window on the methods the FBI and federal prosecutors use to investigate and convict suspected terrorists. Joining me to help explain the trial is freelance reporter Aaron Lake Smith. His story, What Constitutes Terrorism, appeared in The Independent last week. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Frank.
Let's start by understanding who Daniel Boyd is. What do we know about him?
Daniel Boyd is he's a fascinating figure. He's a kind of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, all-American guy, got to build like a linebacker, who grew up in the D.C. area, and his father was a Marine, died when he was very young. He ended up converting to Islam when he was a teenager and ended up traveling with his brother to Afghanistan to fight with the Mujahideen in 1989. And they went out there hoping to fight against the Soviets. Soviets ended up leaving before they got there, so they got there too late. Ended up
In those days, by the way, that was a network that was more or less facilitated by the CIA, so he was right. I mean, that was the network of Mujahideen that very much the CIA had a hand in starting so that we would oppose Soviet interest in Afghanistan.
That's right. So, yeah, they got there and they found some other groups and kind of took on a paramilitary environment and ended up arming themselves and fighting alongside the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Ended up getting into some trouble. They went to Pakistan and were both charged with a robbery, a bank robbery, and were sentenced to having an arm and a leg cut off in accordance with Islamic law. And turned out the bank robbery charges were bogus. They ended up getting brought back to the U.S. Avoided that kind of horrible amputation.
Ends up in Willow Spring in southern Wake County near Fuquay Varina, right?
Right, with his wife Sabrina and five children.
So what makes the FBI, when did the FBI get interested in him?
The FBI started watching Boyd in 2005. He owned a small market called Blackstone Market in Garner. He was talking a lot of, making kind of inflammatory statements about the American military, saying things about that the U.S. government was a kufar government, a non-believer government.
And it's a halal market.
Right, it was a halal market, so... You know, it was kind of a meeting place for the community, for the Muslim community. He ended up breaking with his mosque in Raleigh, and he kind of had more radical views, and him and his family separated and wanted a kind of harder line of Islam. He was also starting to stockpile weapons in 2007, shooting them out in rural Caswell County, and the FBI started watching him and his family.
Watched him and eventually arrested him, and what did they find then when they went to his house?
They found a real treasure trove of evidence. They found 27,000 rounds of ammunition, dozens of guns, semi-automatic weapons, Mujahideen posters. It was a survivalist kind of mentality.
So survivalist, NRA, or perhaps the Mujahideen all over again. Whatever the case, he's got a lot of stuff there and this background now, so he gets to be, he's charged.
He was charged, yeah. Boyd and six others were arrested in the Triangle area, and they were indicted for conspiring to provide material support to terrorists and also conspiring to conduct an attack overseas on innocent civilians.
And he pleaded guilty.
He did. Boyd pled guilty, and then soon after, his two sons pled guilty as well. They all took plea bargains. So the kind of question is whether, you know, did they plea, you know, they plead guilty because they... admitted their guilt, or did they plead guilty because they wanted a reduced sentence? So
there's a possibility, of course, that they could receive a reduced sentence. The government had a fair amount of material evidence, weapons, ammunition, and then circumstantial evidence, their background, their history, and all of that. They plead guilty. And now there are three men on trial for conspiracy. Tell us about them.
Right. So Boyd's children, Dylan and Zach, both in their 20s, ended up befriending these other young men at NC State and inviting them over to the Boyd household out in Willow Springs to talk about their faith, to spend time, to drink tea. And ended up, Boyd made made some plans with these young men to go to Israel in 2007, bought their plane tickets for them. They all traveled to Israel together in 2007 and were denied entry, probably because they were being watched. And it seemed like at the time that they were going there to go to Gaza to get involved with possibly some kind of struggle. That's what the FBI was thinking at the time. They were turned away. The young men, Ziad Yagi and Omar Hassan, both had family in Egypt and Jordan. So they went and spent time with their family. They went on vacation while the Boyds went to Jordan and kind of took a tour of Islamic holy sites. They ended up coming back. Hassan and Yagi split with Boyd and his family, never spoke to them again. And all of the men were indicted in 2009.
And what are they charged with?
They're charged with the same thing Boyd was charged with, which is conspiring to provide material support to terrorists and murdering, kidnapping, injuring, or maiming civilians abroad.
Conspiring to do that, not having done that, right?
Right, conspiring.
Yeah, conspiring to do that. Now, in this case, as far as we know, there's not the material evidence against these three that they found against Boyd.
Right. Hyson Sharifi has kind of the hardest case against him because there is FBI evidence that he gave money to Boyd, which was allegedly for the sake of Allah, and then went and shot guns, AK-47s, on his rural land with Boyd. Hassan and Yagi, the case against them rests on this trip to Israel and what they were actually going to do, which is uncertain. We're not quite clear. And also they kind of have these misdemeanor criminal records. They were, small-time thieves and, also involved in some assaults.
All right. So now there's an FBI informant, right, whose testimony is involved in this case. Is that right?
That's right.
Tell us about him and sort of how that works in this case.
Well, the FBI informant, there were several FBI informants deployed to the Blackstone Market in Garner who got to know Boyd and who were secretly recording him for years. So in the trial here, you have about 800 hours of recorded evidence of Boyd talking about jihad, talking about a Kufar government. There's cases, there's conversations about old cars that the FBI alleges are about violent jihad. And
also conversations with Boyd now, not these three, but he's really threatening to do some very bad things to Marines at Quantico, for instance, right?
Right. There's Boyd makes a statement, he's a Marine son. So he talks about how would these people feel a hero's son coming up and cutting their heads off, saying these very violent, inflammatory things.
That's Boyd. Now there are these three guys who are associated with him, and the government's trying to bring the case against them based partly on his association with Boyd and this informant's testimony.
That's right. Yeah, you have Hyson Sharifi is probably the most involved with Boyd, and Hassan and Yagi are they were tangentially involved with Boyd. They took this trip, and then they cut off with Boyd. So their plan is kind of uncertain.
One of the reasons this case, I think, is so interesting is that so few people actually take their case to trial. That once they're accused of these in terrorism cases, they plead. They do what Boyd did. It's unusual, isn't it, for anybody to plead not guilty?
That's right. Yeah, it's very rare for these cases to go to trial. I mean, in most cases, people plead guilty. They take a plea bargain. Generally, it's really hard to beat kind of a terror rap. You can't. If you're being charged with material support, that's in any way, it's a very broad statute. It's in any way kind of supporting a terrorist organization, money, travel, harboring terrorists. And so when people are charged with this, they end up taking a plea. They end up just pleading guilty.
And
these young men.
Then one of the things you can do once you make that plea is also agree to testify against other people and help the FBI and help the government in other cases, which Boyd is doing.
Boyd's testifying against the men, and then that's going to be kind of the crux of this case.
It also shines a light in some ways because there will be an open trial and some of the evidence is going to come out in the way the government mounts these trials. Tell us about what makes that so interesting in this case.
Right. Well, in a lot of these terror trials, you have these pretty intense sting operations. I mean, they've been watching Boyd for 4 years before they kind of swooped in with the indictment. And the FBI employs these informants at about $125,000 a year. And these informants are often kind of small-time criminals, or they were They were wanted on immigration violations. So using these kind of ciphers to get to the people that they want to get to in these cases and spending a lot of money to do it.
And when you spend a lot of money, if you're that informant, I guess you say, I better turn up something because otherwise I'm off the payroll. I mean, that's part of the pressure and part of the question that's being raised, whether there are a lot of bad people out there who are going to do very bad things to the United States. Is this particular form, is this method finding the worst of the worst, or is it generating a kind of trial that works but doesn't get to the most dangerous people?
Yeah, these sting operations are expensive endeavors. I mean, the FBI buys fake missiles, fake detonators. They have expensive cars. There's money involved for the people who are potentially going to commit jihad. And so these kind of root out their preemptive arrest. I mean, they're rooting out people with a violent ideology who might at some point in the future do something, and they're giving them the means to do something in that moment.
And not quite smart enough to figure out who the informants and who the FBI sting operations are, so only the smart guys are going to get away.
That's right. I think a lot of these sting operations, you kind of have they're small time kind of braggarts. You have people who, you know, if you look at the Newburgh 4 case, you had schizophrenics, you had crack addicts, you know, kind of street thugs who were basically in it for the money.
Thanks very much for being with us, Aaron Lake Smith, and we'll hopefully you'll keep us up to date on the trial. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Aaron Lake Smith, freelance journalist. You can find his article about the terrorism trial in New Bern at IndyWeek.com. Just ahead, Nels Klein of Wilco tells us about the band's effort to fight hunger in North Carolina. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.